In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we will continue our program, Word of Life, with the commentaries on the chapter number 12 of the Gospel of St. Mark. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat and built a tower. You know, the Lord used to speak in parables, and you all know that the parables simplify the idea that the Lord wants people to accept. And also, when he speaks in parables, usually the meanings or the ideas will stick to the minds, and they can easily remember these ideas. In this coming parable, it's very much related to the history of salvation. What is the meaning of salvation? What is the story of salvation? What is the story of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? And why the Old Covenant is going to end and becoming obsolete, and the New Covenant will start with the Lord Christ Himself. So he made the story about a man who had the vineyard. And this man is God, simplifying the idea of God. And this vineyard simplified the idea of his people. And again, this parable was mentioned by Isaiah in chapter 5 of his prophecy. And he used to say that these people refused God as these workers in the vineyard will refuse this man. So a man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, which means that he made everything good so the vineyard should come out with fruits. So he is ready to accept these fruits and going to send the workers to gain this fruit. He leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. So these workers in his farm were, they should send him the fruits on the time of the fruits, but actually they did not. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones. So this kind of repetition of those who were sent from the man to his vineyard to gain the fruits or to come back with the fruits are like the prophets. The prophets were sent by God to his people to come back with the fruits of the Spirit as mentioned by St. Paul, fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of mercy, of faith. But these people did not respond this way. And the workers in the vineyard, like the heads or the leaders of the people of Israel, were against the will of God. And they killed many of the prophets. They stoned some of the prophets like Jeremiah. So all the prophets were sent to these people, were rejected by the people. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. So, as if he is telling us the story of the Old Testament, all prophets tried with the people of Israel to repent and to go back to God and to follow his commandments. But these people were always stubborn, and the prophets went back empty-handed. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the higher. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. The exact story of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the begotten Son. So the Lord sent his only begotten Son for our salvation, to gain the fruits of the prophets, to take the fruits of repentance. But these bad people were about to kill the Son. He also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the higher, come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. So this story, simplifying the idea of the prophets, and then on the last step, the Lord was sent, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ was sent by his Father for the salvation of everyone, but the people of Israel killed him. They cast him out of the vineyard. You know, these people believed that they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the kingdom of David on earth. But the Lord was speaking about the kingdom of heaven. That's why the people of Israel refused our Lord Jesus Christ and killed him, because they do not believe in the King of heaven. They want just a king of earth. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. So now our Lord Jesus Christ is telling the people the story. Now expected that the owner of the land will revenge, will come and destroy the vine dressers, because they were never honest and they caused many problems before. And give the vineyard to others. The meaning of others is the apostles, the leaders of the New Testament, the new priesthood related to the new covenant. So now the old covenant finished and was obsolete with the killing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these people of Israel were rejected to be the people of God anymore. But also all people who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as God, as Savior, will be his people. And now this is the new covenant, with the new priesthood, with the new leaders, with the new life, with the new King of heaven. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? So after telling the parable, the Lord referred back to the scriptures from the Psalm number 118, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This stone is also another example of the Lord himself, because the builders refused or rejected this big stone, and they said this stone is useless. We cannot make any use of this. But this stone was the cornerstone, was the basic for the new church, for the new life, for the salvation of everyone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone means that the pillar on which all the building was put on, or the church was built. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. What's marvelous in our eyes? That people rejected Christ, and Christ was the Savior. People killed our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ, with his resurrection, saved all human beings for whom they will believe in him. And they sought to lay hands on him. but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. You know, these people were sitting listening to the Lord and listening to this parable. The simple lay people loved Christ and were happy to listen to him. But the heads of the people of Israel, the priests of this generation, were against him. And they knew quite well that this parable was about them. And these vine dressers were them. And he is going to change them and bring another group of leaders who are the apostles of the new covenant. They sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians. You know, the Pharisees are part of the leaders of the people of Israel, who were always eccentric in their teachings, and they were against even the government and the Herodians. But in this situation, they will put hand in hand with the Herodians to stand against the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. These people, called the Herodians, are the people of Herod. Those, the governmental people, the civil leaders, so they work together with the leaders of this church, the old Hebrew church, for fighting the Lord's teaching. They sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" You know, these people were not honest. They did not love Christ. They just came to catch him in his words. So the Pharisees were telling the people, "Don't pay to Caesar." And the Herodians were telling the people, "Just go and pay to Caesar." So by doing this, they put him in a corner. So if he says that do not pay any taxes to Caesar, now he is standing against the civil rights, and they can take him to the court. And if he tell the people, "Just go and pay the taxes to Caesar," this means that he is with the government against the religion. So as if they put our Lord Christ in a bad situation. They said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one." By saying so, actually, they want to catch him by his saying. So they started by giving him some praises, as if trying to come nearer to his heart, so he will speak easily without wisdom. But our Lord is always wise, the full man of wisdom. So he spoke not their way. "For you do not regard the person of men," as if they were pushing him to speak what he believes in, so he might speak against Caesar or against the law. And in this case, they can put him into troubles with the government. "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them — what's hypocrisy in this? Because they are not pure in heart. They are not coming just to know the answer of the question. No, actually they came to catch him, to put him into troubles. So they were not honest. This is the kind of hypocrisy. that what's in your heart is different from what you say. Whatever you say, kind of good words, but in your heart, bad feeling. So this is the hypocrite. Knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it. So the Lord said, "Why do you test me?" He made it clear to everyone that I know quite well that you are testing me. You are not about to know the answer of the question. Actually, you are putting me into test. So he asked them to bring a denarius. You know, the metal denarius, on one face there is the picture of cedar, on the other face of the coin there is the writing of the government. So they brought it, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscriptions is this?" They said to him, "Cedars." "Whose image and inscriptions?" So the image of cedar and the writings of cedar. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription it did?" They said to him, "Cedars." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Cedar the things that are Cedar's, and to God the things that are God's." As if he is telling them, this coin, this metal money, is related to Cedar and the government and this world and this earth. But you people are the image of God and the inscriptions of God. So you people should live your life to God. You should go back to God. You should refer your life to Him. But this coin, this money, referred to earth, to the dust of this earth. So he did not said, do not pay or just go and pay. He mentioned that you people should go in your life to your reference as God, because you are the image of God. So he said, render to Cedar the thing that are Cedar's, and to God the things that are God's. So they couldn't catch him. They couldn't find any wrong in what he said, because he did not prevent people to pay the taxes, but he was pushing the people to live a spiritual life and give their life to God. And they marveled at him. They marveled at his wisdom. They couldn't catch him in whatever he says. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. You know, this is another group, a third group of those who are trying to catch him, to put him in trouble. These Sadducees or Sadducees, these people were also Jewish people, but are very much eccentric. And most of the priests at that time were of this group. They used to say there is no resurrection. Although most of the Jews believe that there is resurrection and there is an eternal life and there are spirits and there are angels, these Sadducees do not believe in this. Came to him and they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." You know, according to the traditions of the Jew or the book of Levites, the book of Moses, yes, there were a commandment that if a man died and he did not leave any children, his brother might take his wife to get him an offspring, a child taking his name, because this is related to the lands and the belonging of this land to this family. So that was part of their laws. But because they do not believe in the eternal life, in the afterlife, in resurrection, They want to make a problem from this loom. So they said, Muda said, and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, they do not believe in the resurrection, but as if they are telling him, as you believe in resurrection, these all, the seven men and the woman, will come back to life. When they rise, whose wife shall be? For all seven had her as wife. So this is the problem they made with the story of this man died and his brothers took his wife one after the other to get the offspring. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? Although they were telling the law given by Moses, but the Lord rebuked them because they do not know the scriptures, meaning that they do not know the spirit of the scriptures. They do not know the exact will of God. They couldn't understand God as he meant. Just they stick to some of the sentences of the verses, but they couldn't understand the whole meaning. So you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God, because the resurrection is always related to the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So the problem with their question, with their case presented, that they believe that in the afterlife they will marry again and have relations again. So the Lord said simply, actually in the afterlife there is no marriage. There is no such a question. There is no belonging for a wife to her husband. They will know each other, but they live a spiritual, a pure, sacred life forever, praising God. So this kind of physical relationships will never be there in the afterlife. When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And this is another proof that there are angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. So another problem in their case presented, that they believe that God is the God of living, but how come he is telling Moses that he is the God of Abraham after many years of the death of Abraham, God of Isaac, and Isaac died many hundred years before Moses. So God is always the living God, and his people will live forever as far as they are the people of God. Next time we will continue with the chapter number 12 of the Gospel of St. Mark. Glory to God. Amen.